This is a free Off the Ball podcast. For access to the best football analysis from the likes of Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Owen Doyle, Keith Tracy, Henry Winter and lots more, become an Off the Ball member today.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Welcome along to Tuesday's Football Daily. I'm Ross Flanagan. Coming up today, the Derry City James McLean situation boils over, the FIFA saga continues with the US president now chiming in, and a Liverpool up for sale as Fenway Sports Group look to sell 30% of the club. But first, Republic of Ireland centurion James McLean has reportedly arrived to training this morning at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium, despite having his contract terminated by Derry City. McLean rejoined his hometown club at the start of the year after a 15-year stint in England and Wales. He featured in just 12 games for the Candy Stripes this season, battling a hip injury throughout. Reports claim that his contract had been ended by the club due to the midfielder lacking the physical capacity to fulfil the terms of his contract for the remainder of the season. His most recent appearance for the Northwestern club was in the 3-0 FAI Cup win over Tulke Rovers. On last week's LOI pod, Derry City legend Garrett McLean spoke to Stephen Doyle about McLean's activities on social media surrounding the sacking of manager Tiernan Lynch.
No, it doesn't help. It doesn't help at all. I mean, I have no interest in talking about that sort of stuff that doesn't help Derry City. And I don't think James understands how bad it is a look for the Derry City to air their dirty laundry out in public. What we need is somebody to come in and unite and build a relationship, the intimacy between the fans, the players and the club again. Because to be honest with you, probably the last time it happened was the cup final under Rory Higgins, where there was red and white all over the town. It was a real feel-good factor. But getting someone to do that and having the smarts to be able to do that, as Vinny said, is really difficult.
You can listen back to the LOI pod and phone your OT podcast feeds. The draw has been made for the second round of the Carabao Cup, with Premier League clubs not involved in the European competition joining clubs from the EFL Championship, League 1 and League 2 in this round of the competition. Some of the biggest ties include four-time winners Nottingham Forest hosting Leeds in the only all-Premier League tie of the round, while Chelsea will welcome former top-tier side Luton Town, who now reside in League 1. Newcastle take on West Brom at St James's Park, Keith Andrews' Brentford travelling to St Andrews to take on Birmingham City, an all-West London tie with Fulham welcoming AFC Wimbledon to Craven Cottage, and Preston North End playing Everton at the Deepdale. All fixtures will be played in the midweek commencing August 25th. However, there is a potential fixture headache due to television selection, with Sky selecting the Premier League West London derby between Fulham and Chelsea for the Monday before the second round. It could mean that up to 10 fixtures involving other sides involved in the cup could be moved to ensure that clubs don't play 3 matches in the space of a week. Liverpool have confirmed the signing of Barcelona captain Ronald Araujo on a season-long loan, including an option to buy. The 27-year-old defender made over 213 appearances for the Catalan club, which included winning 3 La Liga titles, 2 Copa del Reyes and 3 Spanish Super Cups in his 7-year spell at the club. The Uruguayan international was named captain of the club at the start of this year following the departure of Marc-Andre Ter Stegen on loan and guided the club to their most recent league title. This, however, could be an issue for Liverpool, with their quota of non-homegrown players now full, potentially impacting further signings before the close of the transfer window. United States of America President Donald Trump has warned that FIFA would be making a terrible mistake if they remove Gianni Infantino as president of the federation. Speaking on his Truth Social platform, the 47th president of the US declared his support for the current FIFA president, who is coming under fire from UEFA, AFC and CONCACAF following his plans to sell off 20% of the World Cup to potential investors. On last night's Off the Ball, South American expert Tim Vickery spoke to Owen Shane about the reasons that CONMEBOL, the governing body for South America, were not part of the open letter against the FIFA president.
Why does CONMEBOL support Gianni Infantino?
They played a wait-and-see game last week. And at the moment, the missing piece of the jigsaw is an alternative proposal. We have a protest, we don't have a proposal. CONMEBOL South America, it has a short-term objective, which is a 64-team World Cup in 2030. Long-term, there's not particularly interested in a 64-team World Cup. 48 works very well for South America. There's only 10 nations, so there's only 10 votes. Of those 10 nations, 6 qualify, the 7th one goes into a playoff, and the qualification tournament is still interesting. If you up it to 64, it renders qualification meaningless, and qualification is an important source of revenue for them. So in the normal way, South America's not particularly hung up on 64, but it's very hung up on 64 in 2030, and I shall explain why. The next World Cup, well, it was given to Spain, Portugal and Morocco. South America wanted it. It's the centenary of the tournament, which began in Uruguay in 1930. So South America's big idea was bring it home, let's celebrate the centenary properly. First one was in Uruguay in 1930. Uruguay has only one city, couldn't even stage a 16-team World Cup, let alone 48 or 64. So it was a joint bid, Argentina, Uruguay, Paraguay, maybe Chile as well on the fringes. Didn't win. But as a kind of sop to South America, Infantino gave one game to Argentina, one to Uruguay, and one to Paraguay. Now, this from a logistical point of view is nonsense. June, July in these countries, especially Argentina and Uruguay, is like walking in a fridge. The difference in temperatures between that and Spain, Portugal and Morocco is immense. But anyway, from a South American point of view, this was a disappointment. They now have to upgrade the stadium. I use it in the singular, but it's only one game. And upgrade infrastructure for one match. What's the point of that? So what they wanted is 64-team World Cup, which will give them the possibility of having more matches. And then they could spread the costs of this whole thing over more matches, and it becomes more worthwhile. So that's what they want. Where are they going to get it from? Well, after this, it was South America who first mooted the idea of a special one-off celebration, 64 teams in 2030. Didn't get much traction. After 48 wasn't a disaster in the States, Infantino has come on board. Right, so they're looking around the table and thinking, well, we know what we can get this from Infantino. What can we get from UEFA? What can we get from Europe? There's nothing on the table yet.
You can listen back to that chat in full on your OTP podcast feeds. Everton have confirmed the signing of Welsh international Brennan Johnson in a swap deal which sees Dwight McNeil depart for Crystal Palace in the same move. Johnson has signed a four-year contract for the Toffees while McNeil has signed the same for Palace. Speaking to Everton Club Media, Brennan Johnson talked about the reasons why he made the move.
Yeah, it means a lot. I'm so excited to be here. I think, the club itself kind of speaks for itself. It's a massive club and one that, yeah, when I heard about the interest, I was really excited to come and be a part of. I think the manager, the players, kind of the direction the team's gone in, I think especially last season, I think it was a really strong campaign. And I knew that firsthand playing against the team. It was always difficult. And you can kind of see from this that it's a club that wants to go in the right direction. And I'm a player that wants to go in the right direction too. So I think it was a good match.
Fenway Sports Group, the current owners of Liverpool Football Club, are close to agreeing a deal to sell 30% of the Premier League club to a consortium including Amazon CEO and founder Jeff Bezos, former shareholder of QPR Amit Bhatia, and Facebook co-founder Eduardo Saverin, amongst others. The deal of £1.35 billion for the 30% stake is effectively agreed according to multiple outlets, but could take multiple weeks to be complete. Bezos has reportedly been looking to buy an NFL franchise over the past few years to no avail, and his Amazon Prime Sports wing currently has rights to broadcast the UEFA Champions League in the United Kingdom. Nottingham Forest have confirmed the signing of Ousmane Diamande for a fee of £34.3 million from Sporting Lisbon. The Cote d'Ivoire international has been at the Portuguese club since 2023 and extended his contract at the club at the start of this year. As a centre-back, Diamande helped Sporting to two Portuguese Premier League titles in 2024 and 2025, and featured in the 2-0 win for his country over Curaçao in the World Cup over the summer. Fulham have announced the signing of Northern Ireland international Shay Charles from Southampton. The 22-year-old is now the most expensive signing of all time for a Northern Irish player, going for over £30 million as he makes the move up to London to replace Sasa Lukic, who has moved to Ipswich. He made 31 appearances in the Championship last season, helping Southampton to a 4th place finish where they missed out on promotion in the playoffs. Speaking to Fulham Club Media, Charles is excited to be joining the West Ham club.
You know, it's such a great club and to be here is a massive privilege. You know, it's a really good club with a really good vision. You know, the manager kind of explained that to me. Obviously, I know Oscar, who's here as well, so there's plenty of reasons and I'm just really happy.
Manchester United and Republic of Ireland legend Dennis Irwin is excited for tomorrow's friendly between his old club and bitter rivals Leeds United at Croke Park in Dublin. Speaking to our own David Wilson, the former defender talked about his memories of the ground, including playing on the pitch in his youth.
Now, I played for Cork Schools when I was 11 against Dublin Schools in Hurling, and Mark Niall Quinn actually. A game finished in a draw, and I won an All-Ireland College's medal there in Gaelic football for Cloister Crease 3 back in 1980. So that was a semi-final and a final, so I've played there 3 times. I've watched Cork on numerous occasions in the Hurling finals. I went to watch the Ireland and England game in rugby there when they were doing the new Aviva. Yeah. And if memory serves me right, I think it was Ireland and Wales, the soccer game that was there. I might be wrong on that, but definitely.
Yes, another Corkman, Stephen Ireland, scored in that game.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So I was there to watch that. But this is probably the first probably is the first game, club game, yeah, that's there. So in an iconic stadium, it'd be strange to see the, how the pitch is laid out again, but it'd be a great atmosphere there, and it sold out in no time at all. And you know, everybody's been asking me for tickets, so it should be a great occasion. But yeah, an iconic venue.
That match kicks off at 7:30 tomorrow evening in front of a sold-out crowd at GAA HQ, as Leeds United and Manchester United become the first club sides to play in the venue in its history. That is all we have time for on today's Football Daily. I'm Ross Fannigan, and we'll be back with more tomorrow.
Off the Balls Football Daily.
This is a free Off the Ball podcast. For access to the best football analysis from the likes of Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Owen Doyle, Keith Tracy, Henry Winter and lots more, become an Off The Ball member today.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.